are the most comprehensive of any jurisdiction in the region. And the continued collaboration between the different bureaus, as you've noted here, as you've heard here, is important to the overall success of the city's watershed health program. And while we can acknowledge all the great work that has been completed, Metro staff is looking forward to working closely with city staff on the Willamette Greenway Plan and the Comprehensive Plan update. And in order to meet the conservation and protection and restoration goals of Title 13, long-term efforts and partnerships are needed to sustain healthy watersheds in the region. The intergovernment agreement between Metro and the city that is part of the packet before you demonstrates the types of efforts that are needed to support watershed health through the continuation of natural resource protection and enhancement efforts at the local level and collaboration on the issues of regional concern has been pointed out by the other members up here. In closing, I would just urge you to support the city's request for Metro determination of substantial compliance with Functional Plan Title 13. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody else wishes to? Oh, we have three signed up. Okay.
Linda Bauer, Bob Solinger, and Peter F. Fry.
Welcome back, all of you. Ms. Bauer, would you like to begin?
Okay. I submitted to you a site plan for a property that is in, Linda Bauer, citizen. This property is on 122nd and Foster, and that location requires that only 50% of the lot be covered by impervious surfaces. As you can tell from the site plan, a whole lot more than 50% is covered. And it's not just this property. It's the property next to it, and it's the property next to that. On page 2, Commissioner Saltzman's office refers to this site plan as a violation is quite egregious. And I totally agree with him. Sorry that this is so small. I broke my printer this morning. The site is a total area of 18,500 feet, but staff forgot to subtract the 5-foot right-of-way dedication that was required. They said that they had 9,500 square feet of landscaping, and if you add that to the total of 19,000, the lot is only 18,000 square feet. So that would mean that there would be almost half a lot would be landscaped according to their figures, and that is not the case. As you can tell, most of it is building. I don't know what I think. Title 13 compliance is more than just writing good rules. It is also enforcing those rules for the good of the watershed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finley Fry.
Okay, I'm Peter Finley Fry, and I'm going to accomplish two things in my 3 minutes. I see you're starting me at 1:33, so that's pretty cool. I'm here.
Inflation, man.
Experienced testifier.
I'm here on behalf of Gunderson, and Gunderson wants to express support for the city's work on Metro Title 13. They want to express support for the Bureau of Plant Sustainability, Environmental Service, and Park Bureau. Their concern was that in the ordinance, it spells out specific things like the North River plan, and we would prefer to have broader goals than specific projects that, in fact, that project is not adopted. So that's Gunderson. You can read their letter. Now, I want to speak on my own behalf, and I was very active in the economic opportunity analysis process, and I have to admit that despite having done this for 30 years and have a PhD in regional science, I learned a lot in that process. And I thought the Planning Bureau did an extremely good job. And so what I'm advocating for personally is an environmental opportunity analysis that is similarly constructed to the economic opportunity analysis, where you would look at identified land supply, you'd look at demand, and then you would obviously probably find not enough natural areas, my guess, and then you'd have to come up with strategies to resolve that mismatch, just as the economic opportunity analysis did. So that's one point. The other point, in the we have a joint economic environment committee, and I made the point that only with development will we have restoration. And one lady disagreed, and she stated that she was aware of somewhere that wasn't maintained. They did the restoration, and then it reverted back to invasive species. And I think her point, I still stand on my point, but I think her point is very well taken as well. For 30 years, we've restored and maintained my property out in Corbin. We have elk and bear and coyotes and foxes and pleated woodpeckers, and we have bald eagles in our trees. And that's because we actively keep the invasive species out. We have grown over 200 evergreen trees, and we've removed dead trees that are not appropriate. We left trees that are appropriate. So I want to strongly advocate for the maintenance side to restoration, because restoration will not occur without someone being responsible to maintain it.
So, Mr. Fry, appreciate your comments, and I read the letter on behalf of your client, David Harvey at Gunderson, and I still don't understand.
In the ordinance, on the first page, they list, it's in the second paragraph, they talk about Portland's compliance to Metro Title 13. And as proof of that, they list projects like the Central City Reach, like the North River Reach, like Portland Plan. And those plans change over time. They're not always implementable. And so we advocated that rather than having specific projects to rationalize Portland's compliance, that we use goals and ideas and efforts, of which Portland has a rich history. I don't want to spend too much time, but the environmental protection and conservation zones, which I use to deal with a lot, is a Portland idea. And now it's actually, when you read Title 13, you find those embodied, and so Metro's actually taken what Portland's done and put it into Title 13. So that explains a little better. Thank you for the opportunity.
Mr. Salinger, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for Portland Audubon. I'm here today to support the resolution before you for the city to come into substantial compliance under Title 13. We're pleased to be here today to acknowledge some very significant successes, and that the city does have a strong program, that the city has been a leader in terms of Goal 5, and we would like to see it remain a leader. Also here to acknowledge that some work is still undone, and we greatly appreciate the fact that the city has taken the step of developing an IGA with Metro. We think that's important because the city did ask for two extensions specifically to accomplish some very specific goals that it felt was important to come into compliance. And we've made a lot of progress on those, but there's still some very significant work undone, and I think this IGA does a good job of capturing that. I want to highlight a couple of things. River Plan North Reach, that's still in limbo. An incredible amount of work went into that, and we need to follow through. We just got a very good ruling from the Supreme Court that acknowledges that the city does have the right to regulate resources on the river, and we really hope that when the issues with Goal 9 are resolved, that we will move forward and implement that. And we also need to keep monitor very closely and make sure it actually does what it's supposed to do in all directions, economic, environmental, social. And we don't always do a great job of coming back and looking at those big plans and making sure they work. That's a place where we could really step up and do a better job. Stream corridors. We have a lot of unmapped stream corridors that historically weren't mapped. And those are unprotected, at least mostly unprotected. And we need to go back and make sure we put the same protections on those streams that we have on all the ones that were originally mapped. Those are vital natural resources. And it's really a matter of equity. If we're going to protect most of them, we should protect all of them. We shouldn't just leave some out because they weren't on the maps originally. The tree code, we need to really follow through and fund that. A huge amount of work, a big success for this council. Let's make sure that we actually have the money to implement it and make that a priority. Funding for Greta Green, that runs out in the next few years. How do we sustain that and move it into the next generation? and funding in general for natural resource programs. We're in tough economic times. I recognize that everything's being cut, but we need to really prioritize and make sure that we continue some of the big efforts that we've invested a lot in. And then finally, I just want to highlight Goal 9. You know, a lot of the issues that were that slowed things down were the conflicts between Goal 5 and Goal 9. We're working through that now, so hopefully when we get through that in the next couple of months, year, we'll have a chance to go back and look at some of these things that were delayed, and I really hope we do that. I know when we delayed them, we said we would do that, so we need to follow through and see if we can get those things done on the ground. So thank you, and congratulations to the city as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all of your contributions to the effort. With that, I will entertain a motion to accept the report contained in 1355.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote to accept the report contained in 1355?
Leonard?
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and everybody who's worked on this. Aye.
Fritz?
I need to make my comments on both items now. And thanks, everybody, for all of your work. This is a significant body of work over decades, never mind years. And it's the agreement requires that we restore and protect our valuable Goal 5 resources, including the ones that are not currently protected, and it commits to making sure that they are. I'm going to be on the council for the next 4 years, and I expect to have those regulations to me before the end of my next term and look forward to working with everybody on those. The benefits of healthy river corridors extend beyond the riparian borders to include human health and healthy ecosystems, improve livability by increasing recreational opportunities, improving wildlife habitat, and making our city more attractive to businesses and accompanying jobs, as well as improving property values in neighborhoods. So this is an economic plan as well as an environmental plan. And as a council and as a council member, I commit to funding these initiatives. Of course, the funding is crucial or it won't happen. We need to make sure that the comprehensive planning project gets done over the next 4 years, and that we include not only map changes, but also language changes. It was mentioned that watersheds don't respect political boundaries, nor do streams and creeks respect maps that may have been done decades ago or even yesterday. Streams move. And we need to have language in our code that allows, when the application is submitted, to check where is that stream now. And indeed, we also, as Linda Bauer pointed out, need enforcement of our current regulations, as well as making sure that our standards are clear and that everybody knows what they are. I appreciated Peter Finley Fry's suggestion for environmental opportunities analysis, and I think that certainly can be done as part of the North Reach Plan and the work on the harbor and a number of things where all of our values come together. And Mayor Adams, you've been a major leader on this over the 8 years that you've been on the council and previously under Mayor Katz, and I very much appreciate that this has come to fruition before the end of your term. Aye.
Fish?
Well, first I want to thank everyone for their great work, and on the acknowledgement page of the Title 13 Nature and Neighborhoods, it has the A team of folks from all the bureaus have been working on this. And I, speaking for the Bureau of Parks and Recreation, we're very proud to partner with so many talented people and so many great partners. And as I look at the Portland accomplishments since the adoption of Title 13, I'm almost dizzy-headed looking at this list. And I realize that we jammed a lot in a brief period of time, but I mean, it fills up a page and a half, and it looks kind of sterile, but I'm reminded that just the citywide tree code took a couple of years off my life, and Mike probably has a little more gray because of, you know, Portland Plan and Airport Futures. I mean, there's a lot of work here, a lot of great work, and I compliment the mayor and my colleagues. There was something that stood out to me in the report, that we have 12,845 acres of Title 13 habitat conservation areas. And that's a very important number. And I think looking forward, there's two things I think we're going to have to grapple with. One is that how do we get a more predictable and reliable funding stream to maintain those natural areas? And to sort of piggyback off of the intertwine concept, we're going to need a regional approach to do that. And I have a hunch that's in the offing. But that's going to be very important. And that 12,845 is just within the city of Portland. And so this is a treasure that we have regionally. We're going to have to find the funding mechanism. And the second is we've got to keep adding to that inventory. One of the proudest things that I was involved with on this council was working with Dan, the BES and Parks acquiring Riverview. And I'll beat Mike to the punch. That was, you know, if you go back to the 1903 plan, there it was, sort of foreshadowed that we could have this incredible wildlife corridor. And we did it. And, of course, we've been sued for it, but hopefully we have great confidence we'll prevail in that lawsuit. But that was a historic acquisition, and we need to continue that momentum and be bold in our acquisition strategy. And finally, in addition to thanking everyone who's spent some time with us this afternoon, I'm just reminded, Mike said that 30 years ago, they said, you know, nature belongs on the other side of the urban growth boundary. Well, let's bring it 30 years later and just take a typical day in Mike Abate's in my life. And let's take South Waterfront as an example.
It was the morning golf game.
There are many things people could call or write to us about, but what do we often get calls and write and emails about? Don't pay any attention to them, please. They're short timers. Just let them go. Let them go. This is part of their
free golf, free pool.
This is part of their
therapy. What do you do with your day?
This is part of their therapy. Let's come back to what's before us. But I'm reminded that we're just as likely today to get a furious email from a constituent saying, "What's up with the osprey?" as we are about anything else.
Mostly we're, my cow.
We're not my cow, actually.
Oh, Bob Salinger.
Not even, no. Don't point the finger at Bob. But
I have five of those in my inbox right now.
Right,
Bob. No, the initials might be CO, but I'm just saying there's other people out there that have those interests. But the fact that people are focused on an osprey, I mean, putting aside the logistical questions and the headaches about the osprey, the fact that there's a whole organized group of people who are focused on the survival of an osprey and the reproduction functions of an osprey in South Waterfront is amazing. The fact that an osprey even chooses to live there is amazing. But that's just as likely we'll hear from people about the eagles in 100 yards to the east, or
Dan, can you save
it? Or the trout, or the salmon.
An osprey can afford to live in South Waterfront. It's remarkable.
They're a very upscale bird. But anyway, this will pass. How many days, Mayor?
34
days. So. Thanks to everyone for a job well done, and we're pleased to partner with you on this, and we have a lot of good work ahead. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the mayor and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Parks and Recreation, Bureau of Environmental Services, for really devoting a lot of effort to what people do care about, and that is nature inside the urban growth boundary, and how do we preserve our watersheds and our abilities to get around. It's even more important today than it probably was 15, 20 years ago, as people are gravitating back towards the city and really want to do that and maintain a degree of livability, a degree of contact with nature that's so important. And I think Metro's Title 13 and all of our efforts to comply with that are really good steps and supported widely by everybody, and I'm including myself. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this has been a great city council to work with as a city commissioner and as mayor on the individual projects that are listed and a lot more that is included in the annual budgets of the city. I want to take the opportunity to thank the great team at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and Bureau of Environmental Services and Office of Health of Working Rivers and the Bureau of Parks, and I could go on, but especially to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for bringing this all together. You know, we are very lucky. We're known around the nation as one of the best cities for smart planning, and that's because of the great work that you do, and it's evident here today. So thank you. I'd also like to thank in my office, Lisa Libby, Rehana Ansari, and Jonah Papamethu for their work on the Planning and Sustainability Group in the mayor's office. Please vote aye. Can you please call the vote for 1356?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
I'll just add that this executive summary of the regional conservation strategy, which Mike Houck and Bob Salinger were involved in, is going to first go home so that I can show it to my family, but then be on my coffee table in my office because it's outstanding work. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Congratulations. Thank you. We're adjourned. All right. Till tomorrow. No, I saw it. It's really beautiful. Mike, who did the Intertwine brochure?